depression. He was the epitome of a self-made man. He liked to say that he had bought the house he lived in for pennies in 1930, and he had had the same intuitive knack later on for investing in shopping centers and oil wells. The fortune he had amassed was literally staggering by now. Stanley had been a genius in business, but had done little else in his life. He had no children, had never married, had no contact with anyone but attorneys and nurses. There was no one who cared about Stanley Perlman, except his young attorney, Sarah Anderson, and no one who would miss him when he left this life, except the nurses he employed. The 19 heirs listed in the will that Sarah was once again updating for him, this time to include a series of oil wells he had just purchased in Orange County after selling off several others, once again at the right time, were great-nieces and nephews he had never met or corresponded with, and two elderly cousins who were nearly as old as he was, and whom he said he hadn't seen since the late 40s but felt some vague attachment to. In truth, he was attached to no one, and made no bones about it. He had had one mission throughout his lifetime, and one only, and that had been making money. He had achieved his goal. He said he had been in love with two women in his younger days, but had never offered to marry either, and had lost contact with both of them when they gave up on him and married other men more than 60 years ago. The only thing he said he regretted was not having children. He thought of Sarah as the grandchild he had never had, but might have if he had taken the time to get married. She was the kind of granddaughter he would have liked to have. She was smart, funny, interesting, quick, beautiful, and good at what she did. Sometimes, when she brought papers to him, he loved to sit and look at her and talk to her for hours. He even held her hand, something he never did with his nurses. They got on his nerves and annoyed him, patronized him, and fussed over him in ways he hated. Sarah never did. She sat there looking young and beautiful while speaking to him of the things that interested him. She always knew her stuff about new tax laws. He loved the fact that she came up with new ideas about how to save him money. He had been wary of her at first because of her youth, and then progressively came to trust her in the course of her visits to his small, musty room in the attic of the house on Scott Street. She came up the back stairs, carrying her briefcase, entered his room discreetly, sat in a chair next to his bed, and they talked until she could see he was exhausted. Each time she came to see him, she feared it would be the last time. And then he would call her with some new idea, some new plan that had occurred to him, something he wanted to buy, sell, acquire, or dispose of. And whatever he touched always increased his fortune. Even at 98, Stanley Perlman had the Midas touch when it came to money. And best of all, despite the vast difference in their ages, over the years she'd worked with him, Sarah and Stanley had become friends. Sarah glanced out the window of the cab as they passed Grace Cathedral at the top of Knob Hill and sat back against the seat, thinking about him. Her long, dark hair was pulled neatly back. Her eyes were big and almost cornflower blue. He had commented on them the first time he saw her and asked if she wore colored contact lenses. She had laughed at the question and assured him she didn't. Her usual creamy skin was tan this time, after several weekends in Lake Tahoe. She liked to hike and swim and ride a mountain bike. Weekends away were always a relief after the long hours she spent in her office. Her partnership in the law firm had been well-earned. She had graduated from Stanford Law School, magna cum laude, and was a native San Franciscan. She had lived here all her life, except for the 4 years she spent as an undergraduate at Harvard. Her credentials and hard work had impressed Stanley and her partners. Stanley had grilled her extensively when they met, and had commented that she looked more like a model. She was tall, thin, athletic-looking, and had long legs that he always silently admired. She was wearing a neat navy blue suit, which was the kind of thing she always wore when she visited him. The only jewelry she wore was a pair of small diamond earrings that had been a Christmas gift from Stanley. He had ordered them by phone for her himself from Neiman Marcus. He was not usually generous. He preferred to give his nurses money on holidays, but he had a soft spot for Sarah, just as she had for him.